At verse 1 is the big reveal. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone get out of the room." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, now watch what he says, "I am Joseph." He reveals himself after all these years and after this series of tests. He says, "I am Joseph." Now notice the next thing that he says, "Is my father still alive?" Above everything, he wanted to know, is Dad still alive? And so they arrange for Jacob to come and see Joseph. But if you drop down to verse 9, notice what he says to his brothers. "Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry.'" And then look at verse 13. "You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." You see that what he cares about more than anything else is the ability to see his father. And so Joseph sets it up that his family would move to Egypt. Pharaoh even gets involved, the story goes. Pharaoh even pays for the move, basically. And then you get down to verse 25 of this same chapter. "They went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they told him, 'Joseph is still alive.'" Now think about that news coming to the ears of Jacob. Joseph is still alive. And he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." And so here, Jacob gets the news, and now he has this renewed sense of life. He wants to go on living. There were so many times that he was negative in his thoughts, but now he has this renewed sense of purpose in his life. In chapter 46 at verse 26, is the reunion. And I just want you to listen to these words. "All the persons belonging to Jacob who came into Egypt, who were his own descendants, not including Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were 2. All the persons of the house of Jacob who came into Egypt were 70. He had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Israel said to Joseph, 'Now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive.' Joseph said to his brothers, to his father's household, 'I will go up and tell Pharaoh, and I will say to him, my brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.'" I just let those words soak into your mind for a moment. What a reunion like that would have been. Jacob and Joseph grabbing one another, embracing one another after so long. What a moment that would have been. You see, Joseph was a son, and Jacob was a father. And at the heart of every father and son is the desire to be connected, to have a relationship with your father. And what Jacob had was a very important role in the life of all of his sons. But I want us to think about Joseph. I was just reading last week in preparation for Father's Day and my sermon last Sunday night. Something really struck me that I read from an author named John Dresser. He wrote a book entitled, If I Could Do It All Again. And some of the things that he shared, he said, first of all, if I could do it all over again, I would love my wife more. Because by loving my children's mother more, I would create an environment of security in our home. Our love would be something that they could see, something they would never have to worry about. He says, second, I would laugh more. I would relax and enjoy my children and laugh at their antics. I would spend more time with them and enjoy being a father. But this was his fifth one that I want to point out. He says, fifth, I would stop praying so much for my family because a father's prayer so often sounds something like this. God, make my son and daughter good people. Help them to succeed in school. Help them to find the right person to marry. Take care of them and protect them. Instead, he says, I would start praying more for myself, that I would be the right kind of father, realizing that when I become the right kind of father, my children will probably be the right kind of children. You see, what we see with the relationship between Jacob and Joseph is a relationship of influence. Jacob had a powerful influence in the life of Joseph. I want you to consider Joseph. Consider his life. We often spend a lot of time in chapter 39, right? When Joseph is sold into slavery and he's in Potiphar's house. And what does Joseph do? Joseph resists that temptation from Potiphar's wife. And he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? Where did he get those morals from? Where did he get those values from? He got them from home. He may have been in Egypt, but his heart was still in Canaan. He was still living with the influence of home. And I want to show you just three ways in which I think Jacob influenced Joseph and all his children. And then tonight, if you'll tune in, you'll see Joseph near the end of his life as well. What I want us to think about, three ways. What did Jacob teach his family? Well, first of all, I think Jacob taught his family that you should live your life worshiping and acknowledging God. You know, you think when Jacob got the word that Joseph was alive, that Jacob would have done whatever he could do to get down to Egypt as fast as he could. But look at chapter 46 at verse 1. Remember, he gets the news and he has this renewed sense of purpose. He says, I will go see him before I die. And then in chapter 46 at verse 1, it says, so Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. Then he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. Now, I want you to notice what he does. Before he goes into Egypt, he stops right there in Beersheba, the southernmost part of Canaan. And before he goes into Egypt to see his son, he stops and he sacrifices to God. See, there was a famine in Canaan before. And God said to Isaac, his father, in chapter 26, verses 1 and 2, don't go down to Egypt. And so Jacob, before he goes down to Egypt, wants to know whether or not this is what God wants him to do. He wants to make sure that before he leaves Canaan, he doesn't jeopardize the promise. Now, he knows that God is big enough to take care of them and his family wherever it is that he goes, but he wants to make sure that he is following in the will of God. So here you have this father, Jacob, inquiring of his heavenly father, desiring a relationship with his heavenly father so much that he wants to make sure that he is pleasing to him. And so God speaks to him. And now Jacob says, I have heard from God. I know now we can go down and settle in Egypt. God has plans for us there, and he has not forgotten the promise. But for all those traveling with Jacob, I just want you to consider the fact of what they saw, what they witnessed, and the powerful influence that Jacob had at that moment. That before a big decision, a father stops and he sacrifices to God, worships God. He seeks the counsel and the wisdom and the blessing of God. Fathers, there's a lesson in that for us. Of the role and responsibility that we have to lead our family, to lead our family in the Lord. And maybe we've been faced with some tough decisions in our family. And we're wondering whether or not, should I make this move or should I take this job? And the family knows that this is a big decision. I want you to think about how powerful it is for our children, maybe to wake up early one morning and see dad down on his knees praying to God. Or to see Dad late at night with his Bible open, pen in hand, and Dad's just inquiring of the Lord. Dad is just seeking the counsel of God. To know, what does God want me to do? That's the type of influence and the type of example that Jacob was. Look in chapter 47. In chapter 47. And I want you to look in chapter 47 at verse 29. Chapter 47 and verse 29. It says, when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he answered, I will do as you have said. And he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed. Now, if you read out of the New International Version, that verse in verse 31 says, swear to me. And he said, then Joseph swore to him. And it says, and Israel worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And you think about how powerful that is. The time drew near for Jacob, the father, to die. And one of his last acts is bowing his head in worship to God. You consider how powerful that would have been for his family to see that. And I'm just turning over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. Because of all the things of Jacob, this is what the Hebrew writer mentions in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11 at verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. I mean, here is Jacob in the last moments of his life saying, I may be in Egypt, but I'm a Hebrew. I belong in Canaan. I worship Jehovah God. I worship the God of my fathers, of Abraham. I worship the God of Isaac. And I want to be buried where they are buried. And so he worshiped. What a powerful phrase. James Dobson, in a book that he wrote, mentioned that at the head of his father's grave, he put a small plaque. And on that plaque were two words. He prayed. When James Dobson thought of his father, it was those two words. He prayed. If someone were to ask Joseph, Joseph, sum up your father Jacob in two words. He worshiped. He worshiped. Now, Dad, that's an easy application. You know where I'm going with that. We were to ask our children, someone were to ask your children, sum Dad up in two words. What would they say? How would they define you? How would they describe you? Have they seen you worship? I mean, even just in the context of a public assembly, how important it is for children to see Dad worshiping God fervently and passionately. That's what Jacob taught Joseph and his family. Had to be a special, special moment for Joseph to see his father worshiping God in those last moments. Second of all, I think what we learn from Jacob is live your life the way you want to die. Live your life the way that you want to die. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you look at verse 29 of chapter 47, what we just read, did you notice what it says? And when the time drew near that Israel must die. You cannot escape the realities of death. The Bible is clear on that. The Bible doesn't tiptoe around that fact. It's appointed for a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. This text says, when the time drew near that Israel must die, this is telling us the must of death. That death will come upon all of us if the Lord doesn't return before that. We all have an appointment with death. We cannot escape the realities of it. The question is not if we die, or when we die. But the question that I want you to consider is, what type of attitude will you die with? How will you die in that respect? And I think what we see from Jacob is that you'll die exactly as you've lived. Are you a bitter, resentful person? You'll die that way. Are you an angry person, full of wrath, rage, hatred? If so, that's the way you'll die. Are you a person that is kind, tender-hearted, loving? That's the way you'll die. If you're a person who spends their life worshiping, praising God, that's the way you'll die. You see, it wasn't unnatural for Jacob to summon whatever little strength he had to get up on his staff and lean over and worship God. This is 147-year-old man. And that's the way he died. Because as we've already seen, that's the way he lived. Joseph learns that if you want to die a godly, righteous, faithful man to God, then begin living like one now. Don't put it off. Live today the way that you want to die. And you get to decide that. No one can make that decision for you. You have to pick the attitude and the promises that you will live by. But then finally, what we learn from Jacob, what he teaches and influences family, is to live your life like a pilgrim. Live your life like a pilgrim. Let's stay in chapter 49 verse 28. Chapter 49 and verse 28 says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with a blessing suitable to him. Then he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the land of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah to the east of Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. There they buried him and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it were bought from the Hittites. And when Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. It's as Joseph has finally, he said everything that he needed to say to his family. He told him everything he wanted, all of his wishes. And he just throws the covers over him. He dies. He's been living in Egypt for the last 17 years. If he wanted a great, grand, huge funeral, Egypt would have been the place to have that. He's seen the pyramids. He's seen the monuments that they can build. That's a great place if you really want a big funeral. But there was nothing in that land for Jacob. You see, his promise was back in Canaan. You see, Jacob lived his life as a pilgrim. And as a pilgrim, he said, I want to go back to that cave. In Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 13, the Hebrew writer has something to say about this. In Hebrews chapter 11, go back there to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 13. There's other men in that very cave that Jacob is referring to who never lived in a city. They just spent their life in tents. They were pilgrims. But they wanted to have their grave in the soil of the promised land. And verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. They desire a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. You see, Jacob was influencing his family. He was teaching his family, even in death, that as God's people, we live as pilgrims. We dwell in tents because this world is not our home. He was dying looking for his next life. He says, bury me with Abraham, Isaac. He said, the last thing, kids, I want you to remember of me is that I died believing the promises of God. What an influence. What an influence. Long time later, the enemies of Jesus approach the Lord. And they're going to say, why should we believe in the resurrection? Well, there's no resurrection. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, of verse 26, as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You see, Jacob didn't die. Jacob just went home. Jacob lived as a pilgrim, knowing that there was a better place for him. And as God's people, that's our focus. Isn't that encouraging? The world that we live in today, that this world is not our home. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. Don't get too comfortable here in this earth, because this is not our permanent residence. We live as aliens, as Peter says in his first letter, aliens and strangers and sojourners in this land. And we, as Jacob, can die with the same promise that Jesus will return to take us to our heavenly home as well. I know Jacob had some flaws. I was hard on him at times in my study. But what we see through it all is that Jacob died as a man of faith. And that had a powerful impact on his family. And we'll see tonight it had a powerful impact on Joseph. Are you living your life by faith? Are you living your life based on the promises of God? Fathers, mothers, everyone has influence on someone. How are you influencing those around you to live by the promises of God and long for heaven? Consider those things and think about those things. And if there's anyone who needs to respond to the gospel today, we will give you that opportunity as well for you to become a Christian by having your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We would love to help you with that. Consider your relationship with the Lord this morning as we're led in our invitation song.